Now it's time for us to open the Word of God together. Our text is the first chapter of Ephesians, and it's verses 15 to 21.
Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
All right, once again, let's ask for the Spirit's illumination. Thank you, Father, for your word. We ask you now, Lord, that as we study this long sentence, long paragraph, that you will help us to unfold and explore the riches that you have for us in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, know your will for our lives. Teach us to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we are in the, we've worked our way through one very long sentence, which is verses 3 through 14. Of course, in your English translations, they might have broken it up into a couple sentences, but we've taken a few weeks to work our way through the last 12 verses and have heard a lot of important doctrine about what is Christianity and how has God's plan unfolded over the course of history. And we talked about how God had designated for himself a people, a chosen people, of course, Israel of old. And through that people, he gave the world certain kinds of knowledge about himself, about sin, about sacrifice, about atonement, that sort of thing. And through that people, he brought his Messiah into the world. And now, and for the world, not just into the world, but for the world, and now whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And it doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to be a member of that original chosen people, right? And that message here has reached even you, Ephesians, he says, and it's reached even to you who live in New Jersey now, and all those everywhere who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ share in all of the birthrights and the blessings that God promised in old times ever since the beginning. Okay, that's where we've been. And now with all of that having been thought through, we arrive at this therefore in verse 15. So I'll have you look where we are in verse 15. Therefore, all that being established, and you now, my Gentile friends, being included in the promises of God, here's how I pray for you, my brothers. So let's see what it says. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Okay, of course, these are the two standout marks of those kinds of people who have truly been touched by God's own Spirit and have come into a living relationship with him, right? Faith and love, okay, especially love for all the saints. Now, love is something that it shows, right? Love. Proper love shows itself in observable, visible acts of goodness, goodwill, okay, specifically love for all the saints, accepting one another, forgiving each other as we've just prayed, right? Forgiving others as we've been forgiven, sharing with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? Opening your hearts and hands, right? And realizing I am part of God's great family. Right here it says we've been adopted as his sons. Okay? And I say I love my family. Right? Love for all the saints manifests itself in things, actions that can be can be observed and can be reported, right? Paul says, I heard these things about you. Okay? When people become Christians and start behaving in the way that Christ commands us to, word gets around, right? People start realizing, look how he has changed. Look how her life is so different from, look how these people are so different from how they once were, okay? There's a new peace about these people. There's a new attitude. There's a bond between them, and it's something I can observe and see, okay? There's a new hopefulness about them, okay? They have a purpose in life, okay? And it's not just the Ephesians. You can see a similar thing over in with the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, okay? Paul, same sort of idea. Paul says in that letter, okay, different congregation, different location, he says to them, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, okay, yes, in the middle of affliction, but nevertheless with great joy, joy of the Holy Spirit, and you became examples to all of those where you live, right there in Macedonia, he says. From you the word of the Lord sounded forth, okay, in every place, he says. Your faith has become known, right? When people's lives are transformed by the Holy Spirit, word gets around. He says, your faith toward God has gone out. We don't even need to tell people about you. It shows. He says, Timothy's just arrived back to me from you, bringing me a report of your faith and love. Okay, and he says, concerning brotherly love, I know I don't even have to teach you anything. You yourselves are being taught by God to love each other, and indeed you do toward all the saints everywhere in Macedonia. He says, keep it up. I don't even need to teach you about this, right? I've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. I've heard of your love for all the saints, okay? Now, before we go any farther, is that something that people know about us, right? Is that something that people hear about when they hear about our congregation? Do we make that kind of an impression on people? It would be a shame if we didn't, right? At least do other churches, I would hope, people that come in here and see us, do they get the sense that we at First Baptist Church are a believing people, right? Have they heard of our faith, right? We have a solid faith in the Word of God and in the Savior, the Son of God. Okay, do we manifest a love for the saints? Okay, do we have a solid trust and hope in Christ? Right, because churches have reputations, right? You may know reputations of a few other churches around town, whether they're solid or not so solid, right? Whether they're believing, Bible-believing or not, whether they're cold or warm, okay? First Baptist probably is known as a small church, and that's as may be. But it can still, nevertheless, be known as a church that stands firmly on the Word of God. We believe in the Bible, and, well, God forbid that we should not be known as a church that shows love, a warm-hearted church, right? We want to be known as a church that accepts and that a church that loves, okay? Not just in talk, but in actions and in deed, right? That's what Jesus says. This is how people will know you're my disciples, okay? If your love for one another shows, okay? All of that now being said, here's how to pray for the church. Okay, here is what to pray for a body of believers. So I'll call your attention back to the text. Verse 16, number one, give thanks, right? Ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you. Okay, give thanks for this. When you think of our church and you pray about First Baptist, give thanks for this much. That God Almighty has redeemed a number of poor, lost sinners from their ignorance and their going astray, from the power of the devil, from the guilt of their sins, right? It's something to give thanks for. Give thanks that there is this certain number of new creatures, people who have the Spirit of God now dwelling in them, born again, children of God, who make the world a better place. Right, who spread the fragrance of salvation. They spread the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ into a sorrowful world. Right, the world should be a better place because there are more Christians. Right, if everybody here in town was a Christian, I don't think we would have too many problems to have to deal with. Give thanks for the ones that are, right? Give thanks for this congregation, for the blessings that flow down from heaven through each of us to the others and through us to the outside world, right? It makes a better city, okay? Give thanks for these people. Give thanks for how God shows his blessings through these others into your own life, okay? I give thanks for you because you bless me. I give thanks for you because I know that there are people in your lives that Christ is influencing through you, and the city is a better place, the world is a better place, right? It's something to give God to show gratitude for, right? You improve the lives of others by simply being the fragrance of Jesus Christ, by being the influence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I think the world needs a lot more of it. Don't you agree that the world needs a lot more of that influence, that heavenly influence? So how is it going to come down? It's going to come down when more people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? I give thanks for you, right? Paul sees the fruit of his preaching, the fruit of his labor. New saints, people who once lived in sin, they now live for the glory of God. He says, I give thanks for you. I make mention of you in my prayers. Oh, what a blessing it is to have these companions in the Lord Jesus. Okay, when you pray, right, you've thought about these five questions about prayer. When you pray, think about these people, right? These are my people, okay? Give thanks for them. Give thanks for how God uses them to improve your life, to how God uses them to draw you close to himself and bless you, okay? That should be a good chunk of your prayers, thanking God for the blessings. Okay, blessings that come in the form of people that he has sent into your life. I know that often when we pray, we rush into the asking part of our prayer. Okay, dear God, please this or please that. Okay, stop first. Give thanks with a grateful heart, like the song says. Give thanks with a grateful heart. We just sang a song that says, let the Son of God enfold you with his spirit and with his love. Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Okay, this would be a large portion of your prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for how you have embraced me, how you've embraced us together in your wonderful love. Okay, but of course, then number two, after giving thanks, there is request to be made for the church. Okay, we have to make petition to the Lord God for our church on behalf of the saints. Okay, yes, thank God for everything good that he has done, but we have needs, do we not? We have spiritual needs, okay? Look to see what he has here. You know, in the previous paragraph, we talked about past blessings, talked about future promises, promised blessings. We need blessings right now in the meantime, okay? So those are in verses 17, 18, and 19. I want you to see, friends, that these verses are packed full of important, glorious words about the growing Christian life. And maybe you can think of that hymn called More About Jesus, right? More about Jesus. This is what I want. We need more of the Holy Spirit. We need more of all that Christ can impart to us. And so here's what he prayed. Okay, now, we've been told in the last paragraph, God already sealed us, right? Stamped us who believe with the Holy Spirit, right? Remember last week, he put a mark on you. You'll recall Acts chapter 15, verse 8, which we talked about last time, how God testified to those Gentiles in Cornelius' house, right? Remember them? They were Gentile believers, but God poured out his Holy Spirit on them, proved, demonstrated, testified that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit just the way he did to the disciples on Pentecost. He showed it, right? Boom, Holy Spirit comes, and he shows, okay, that these are my people. And look, the word got around, right? People heard about these Gentile believers. They heard about their faith. They heard about their love for all the saints too. Okay, so here it is. The Ephesians heard the word of truth. They believed in Christ, the Son of God. And having believed, they were stamped. They were marked with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the last couple of verses says he's the down payment on our inheritance until the time comes to receive it. Okay. And the word gets around. These are new people. Okay, but the prayers here in 17 through 19, let me ask you this. When a person becomes a Christian, are they instantly granted a full and thorough knowledge of all the secrets of the mind of God, of, you know, a full understanding of his ways and his plans and his strategies and how to obey his commands? No, it's sometimes very difficult at first to put God's commands into practice in our life. It's not very easy or natural right at first, okay? Same way with the natural birth, right? When you're born, you're not born an adult. You're born a little infant, right? Babies haven't acquired knowledge. They haven't acquired good judgment. They don't have skills, right? It takes a growing up. You're fully a member of the family, right? The baby is just as much a member of the family as grandpa is, but he needs to grow. Okay, this is how it is with the Christian life. When you're born again, you are fully a member of the family of God, right? Adopted as sons, that's what the scripture says, right? You're fully adopted into the family, but there's growing to do. So here's what to pray. Verses 17 through 19 help us to see the nature of spiritual growth. So I want you to see how many of these words have to do, friends, with the mind, the heart, wisdom and knowledge, okay, the development of understanding, right, the intellectual part of you, the understanding part, the reasoning part of you. So what does he say? I make mention of you in my prayers, 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, okay, pause on that for a minute and just envision God on his glorious throne in the brilliance of heaven, surrounded by tens of thousands of angels on every side, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the supreme King, the sovereign God of heaven. I pray that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, not talking about the book of the Bible. The word revelation means to unveil something, right? To uncover, right? That he would take away the veil that covers the knowledge and wisdom, right? And give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, okay? In a growing knowledge, a personal knowledge of him, of God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, okay? Lots of words there that have to do with perception, understanding, your intellect, your reason, okay? The rest of what follows is the why. You know, what good does it do you to have this gift, this thing granted to you by God? But let's get to that later. Right now, first, what is the thing requested? He calls it the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He says an enlightening of your understanding. Now look, this is the most desirable thing to be had in the growing Christian life, right? We are talking about a knowledge of the true meaning and purpose of life. We're talking about being initiated into the secrets of the mind of God. We're talking about knowing why the world is the way it is. What is God doing about it? Where can a human being find real hope and power and grace and mercy in my time of need? We're talking about knowing how to draw near to God and what's it like being there. We're talking about knowing how I ought to react to the things that happen in the world and things that happen to me. With all of these voices and choices out there chattering in the world, and the whole world is just a big mass of confusion, how do I know which is the right way to go? How am I supposed to live? Okay, we are talking about knowing all of these things, having the answers, final answers to all of the problems and questions of life, right? The world is a welter of confusion and cannot answer these questions. And when people come into the faith of Jesus Christ, they come in with a big armload of these questions. Okay, you have some first answers, right? Just the fact that you have come to the knowledge of Jesus means you have some first answers, right? Jesus saves. Jesus died for my sins. God loves me. God receives me because of the sacrifice of Jesus. But they're like fresh off the boat. You know, you're brand new arrivals in a whole new world. There's a whole new way of thinking going on here in this other world, and it's like putting glasses on for the okay, you just had your vision corrected. It's like having your vision corrected. It's like having your blindness removed, right? And saying, my goodness, I never saw things this way before. There's so much now to rethink. There's so much to relearn and to discover now that I know God. Okay? The thing is, this sort of depth of wisdom and knowledge and true understanding isn't something that a human being can acquire just by being well-read, right? By reading philosophy books and going to college lectures or, frankly, even by just reading the Bible. Okay, this sort of opening of the understanding, right? To be able to just get the Bible has to be granted by God, right? The Holy Spirit of God illuminates the understanding. Over and over again, it says in the Bible that God catches the so-called wise in their own cleverness, right? He makes foolishness out of the world's so-called intelligence, right? Out of its pretended wisdom, okay? But to those to whom God condescends to show his favor, the Holy Spirit turns the lights on, right? It says he sheds abroad the light of Jesus Christ into their understanding. Okay, and that light is not just, you know, the couple of first rays of dawn, right? The sun comes up, the light gets brighter. Sooner or later, the sun is at full noon, and you see clearly, right? This is something that God must grant. It cannot be achieved merely by research, right? By human searching out, by human effort and learning. Do you remember when when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Remember the story from Matthew 16? Oh, some people say you're a prophet. Some people say you're Elijah or whatever. You're John the Baptist, come again. What does Peter say? I know you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say to him? How blessed you are, Simon, for no man revealed that to you. There was no man who said, you know, I think he might be the Christ. No. It was my Father in heaven who revealed that to you. Do you see, people don't stumble across spiritual truth. People don't figure things out, the ultimate meaning of life. God grants that. Okay, he reveals truth by his Holy Spirit. So here's the prayer. I pray that God, the Father of glory, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is eternal life, Jesus said, that they may know you, the true and living God, and your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent. Okay, it's the ignorant and lost world that keeps repeating that tired old saying about how you can't know God. Okay, you can't really know God. Well, you can if God lets you into the knowledge of himself. Right? I want more about Jesus. I want to know more. I want to see his power in my life more. This is what to pray for. Okay? More revelation, saints. More depth of insight. More familiarity with you, oh my Savior, the lover of my soul. More understanding of this great story that you've been writing since the beginning of history and my place in it, right? Right now I know a little bit. I know a little bit more than I used to know. But I beg of you, Lord, give me more understanding. Give my church more understanding. Okay, later on in Ephesians, he's going to say this in chapter 4, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge, okay, this personal, familiar acquaintance, close acquaintance with the Son of God, becoming a perfect man, okay, the complete, the mature man, fully measuring up to the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ himself, right? So that we should outgrow our childhood, right, in its ignorance, in our spiritual ignorance, and being tossed around this way and that by every different kind of doctrine that we hear, okay, and men's lying and their deceitful plotting and their cunning craftiness, right? And instead of just saying, listening to this voice and that and not knowing which way to turn, he says, instead, being able to know and speak the truth in love, God's own truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is our head, Jesus Christ himself, right? It is our destiny. It is our goal. It's what God has called us to become. And that's why we pray before we preach and after. It's why we invite the Spirit of God into our assembly at the beginning. And we sing, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Right? Not just welcome, like you're needed in this place. You're necessary. It's why preaching, which the world thinks is so foolish and a waste of time, it's why preaching is God's chosen way rather than advancing our cause, his cause, by political power or by force, right? No, by preaching, because God's word, right? His son is the word, right? God's word penetrates into your inner being, into your understanding. God makes transactions with your mind and with your heart, your conscience, and your reason. Okay, the Spirit of God gets in you when you're preached to, when you're preached the Word of God. Okay, and this is why Bible study and learning and teaching, okay, the whole spectrum of the Bible, okay, it's why it's so important. It's why listening and encountering different Christian ideas and weighing them and trying to see what does the Bible clearly say. Okay, spiritual wisdom comes by asking the Holy Spirit to unveil the truth to us, right? That's that word revelation. Okay, the word apocalypse, that's the last book of the Bible. Apocalypse doesn't mean the end of the world. It means to reveal, right? Jesus Christ is unveiled. He's revealed to the world, right? The revelation that he would reveal the things of God to the eyes of our understanding. This is the purpose for our gatherings, saints. We gather here, we open the Word of God, we pray, okay, believe me, we must pray that the Holy Spirit is going to open up our understanding and enlighten our minds with the things of God. He said he's going to guide us into all truth, okay? That's why we get together. If you've been saved, you're marked with the Holy Spirit, right? But you have to grow up to maturity by spending your waking hours, which means not just 1 hour on Sunday, but your waking hours, walking in the Holy Spirit, praying for understanding, and then following up your prayers with doing your part, right? Doing what you can do to seek out wisdom and understanding. Okay, now I understand people are different. You know, to some people, exploring the things of God and discovering hidden truths, this is a delight. You know, it's what makes life worth living. It's exciting. It's just as exciting as having your vision restored. Right? I was blind, but now I see. I never saw that before. Oh, that's so interesting in the Bible. Okay, with other people, it's a matter of total indifference. Well, which one are you? Are you excited to see more of God's truth? Okay, do you want to know more about his plan, his power? What does your degree of hunger for more about Jesus, what does that say about your spiritual health? Right, what to pray for the church? Pray this. And look, mark these verses in your Bible. I think these are really great verses. Okay, 16, 17, 18, 19. Pray this, that God would grant that his Holy Spirit would move within our own spirits to take the cataracts out of our eyes, right? Take the scales away from our inner eyes. Turn the lights on. And give us that fascination with knowing more about Jesus, knowing him personally, knowing his word, wanting to explore it, wanting to learn it, our thoughts penetrating deeper and deeper into the recesses of God's own thoughts and our ways becoming like his ways. Okay? The world is passing away. This flesh is passing away. If you're sick or you're healthy, sure, pray for that. But pray beyond that. You must begin to pray beyond that, that the Spirit of God would move in the heart of yourself and your Christian brothers and sisters to deepen our comprehension of eternal things, biblical things. Christ in him crucified, Christ raised from the dead, Christ on his way back here to reign, Christ ever present to strengthen and comfort, Christ the first and the last. Okay? The other two verses for today, 18 and 19, they tell you why you need this wisdom and understanding from the Holy Spirit. Why do you need it? Middle of 18 says, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, hope, what are the riches, these are things you can know, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and 19, what is the exceeding greatness of God's power toward the believers, right, toward us who believe. This is fuel for living. This is how you get out of bed in the morning and face the day. If you have knowledge of the Christian hope, you have knowledge of the riches that we have received in Christ, knowledge of the power of God, exceedingly great power, the same power that he put to use when he resurrected Christ up from the dead. Okay, that wonder-working power, to know that power, you yourself, to know it and experience it, that is how you get out of bed in the morning. That's how you face life. That's how you go through the rest of your life. In Ephesians, it says God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that you can ask or imagine. Yes, he's able. You have to ask him. Okay, you need to pray for that. So we need to be praying for each other. Okay, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these, your brothers and sisters, your church members. Okay, I mean, in their wisdom, in their understanding, right? It's out of the heart. It's out of the inner core of your soul. This is where all of the things of life flow out of them, right? It's out of the store of the heart, the mouth speaks. So my understanding, that's my control center. That's how I navigate life. It's how I make decisions. It's how it affects my choices. It affects my attitude. If I store up Christ in my understanding, if I store up the scripture and eternal things, that's how I become useful. It's how I become obedient to God. Okay, that's how, by understanding the things of God, by understanding his secrets, his ways, his eternal plan, this is how I become effective for him. Okay, and that's what our church needs to become, more effective. And so it comes down to this practical nuts and bolts daily schedule item. Find room in your day to pray, right? Pray that our people would pray a half an hour, how about? Okay, make time for this to meet your Father and say to him, my Father, I need something from you. I need more wisdom, and I need it not just for me, I need it for my brothers, I need it so that I can be a good servant of yours, a good soldier. Make yourself a quiet time. Clear away all the other stuff. 30 minutes, okay? Let's start there. 30 minutes. It will go by fast, believe me, okay? Fix your attention on the spiritual health of your church. Bring a songbook with it if you want to, all right? Sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, okay? More and more about Jesus, right? Sing a song. Pray to the Holy Spirit. I set myself before you. Come in and illuminate my heart. The question is, how much do you want it? Okay, God will answer our prayers if we really want. I would say only if we really want it. And the amount of want is reflected in the amount of prayer. Okay, small amount of prayer means a small amount of want. We want to mature as a church. We want to stand firm and confident in the Lord. We want to make a difference here downtown and in our families. We want to be a source of God's power in the lives of the people that we know, but we can't have it if we don't ask for it. Okay? You can't have it if you don't ask for it. So please, my Christian brothers and sisters, make prayer for your church a high priority. Okay? Put it on your daily calendar. You got room for everything else. And when I say pray, remember, material things, possessions, wealth, comforts, those are passing away. Pray for them a little bit, okay? Physical health, yes, you need it, but I will tell you this, you don't need it nearly as much as you think you do, okay? Physical health, you don't need it nearly as much as you need spiritual health. Pray for the minds, the hearts, the understanding of your brothers and sisters. that they can know the mind of God, inward things is what we should be praying about, eternal things. Okay? Without a doubt, I say that the future of our church depends on the depth and the energy of your prayer and my prayer. All right? If it's weak, forget it. It's over. All right? If you pray fervently, it will achieve much. Okay? And then follow up your prayers with attentiveness to the Spirit, right? Get your Bible out and read it. You ask for understanding? Well, go read the book and see if he gives it to you. He will teach you. He will rear us up to be strong men and women for the Lord Jesus. Okay? I know you have faith in the Lord. I'm not doubting that, right? Paul says, I heard about your faith in the Lord. I heard about your love for all the saints. Yes, okay, I know you believe in the Lord. But now I pray for you in this way. Okay, I pray that the life of the Lord Jesus would become full within you so that you can bring his life to those around you, to our part of the world. All right, so let's pray right now. Let's pray for one another, friends. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, your eternal Son, we come into your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for the lesson from your word. We do pray, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we would see you more clearly, love you more dearly, Lord, and be zealous for the honor and glory of your name. Lord, you know that your people have questions. They have limited knowledge. We try to learn. Help us, Lord, to grasp the things you would teach us. Help us to understand your great plan for the ages and to give you thanks and glory for it. Help us, Lord, to truly love our neighbors as ourselves, to have pity and compassion for those that are lost and in need, to see that our fellow men and women are made in the image of God. You love them. You sent your Son into the world to die for them as well as for us. And you would have everyone come to repentance. Lord, we have heard clearly from your word that is your will, that everyone come to repentance. So help us. Fill our church. Help us be faithful to your word. Help us to know what it is, to know your will, and to be able to explain it, Lord. These are spiritual gifts you must endow us with, and so we beg you for them, Lord. Tie our hearts closely together in love. Bring more into our circle of spiritual light, so that we can share your light. Give us good cheer today, Lord, as we go about the rest of our day. Help us to be observant for opportunities, quick to take advantage of them, never ashamed of your glorious name. Lord Jesus, you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we worship you, and we thank you for our salvation. Thank you for our fellowship, and we pray in your wonderful name. Amen.